You're listening to SBS News.
The ACT will start community consultations early next year on voluntary assisted dying laws after a quarter century ban on its ability to legislate on that issue was overturned in the federal parliament. All of the states in Australia have already legalised the practice, or will have by 2023. Senators cheered and hugged as the Territory Rights Bill passed, with political representatives from the ACT and the Northern Territory looking on from the public gallery. Australian Lawyers for Human Rights Vice President Nicholas Stewart says territories have been dominated by the overpowering federal government.
From a legal point of view, it's pretty simple. The territories are not states, they are territories of the Commonwealth, and our constitution says that the Commonwealth government has the power to make laws for territories. That means that when territories try to make laws that might be inconsistent with the government of the day, that is the Australian government of the day, then the Australian government of the day has the power to override those laws. That's what we've seen over the last 25 years. And 25 years ago, the Commonwealth made sure that the territories could not enact euthanasia laws.
The embargo was put in place by the federal government after the Northern Territory became the first jurisdiction to legalise euthanasia in 1995. It meant the territory couldn't implement its desired legislation and was overruled. A similar case occurred when the federal government blocked the ACT from legalising gay marriage. Mr. Stewart says territories shouldn't be left behind when there is a clear legal trend across the country.
The fact is that all states have legislated euthanasia, and the territories are left behind. It would be a strange situation for the Commonwealth not to allow the territories to make laws with respect to euthanasia when every other state in Australia has legislated for euthanasia. And it's only because of the Commonwealth's power to make laws with respect to territories that the territories are effectively the last to make euthanasia laws.
Australian moral philosopher and professor of bioethics at Princeton University, Peter Singer, says there are differences between voluntary, non-voluntary and involuntary assisted dying that need to be understood.
Well, there's really a threefold distinction, if you want to draw that, between voluntary, non-voluntary and involuntary. Voluntary euthanasia or voluntary assisted dying, which is what we're talking about legislation for in Australia, and which all of the states now have, is something with the informed consent of the person whose life it is. So they have to go through various procedures. It's not instant. They can't just say, doctor, I want to end my life, and the doctor gives them a drug and they do it. They have to make a declaration, to wait a certain number of days and restate what they're doing. Sometimes there has to be a second doctor who examines them. It has to be a fully voluntary decision.
Mr. Singer says non-voluntary euthanasia would be with someone who's unable to consent.
Now, non-voluntary euthanasia would be with somebody who's not capable of giving consent. So a possible example might be with a newborn infant who has a devastating diagnosis. Maybe they're going to die certainly within months, and they're going to suffer a lot in the meantime. And doctors today, under those circumstances, will withdraw any life support that's keeping the baby alive. And I would consider that a form of non-voluntary, you could call it passive euthanasia, if you like. And I don't think that that's morally significantly different from giving that baby something that will make them die sooner rather than later with less suffering. So that's what might be considered non-voluntary.
He says involuntary would be euthanasia against the will of the person whose life it is, which is not being proposed and never has. Mr. Singer says now the embargo has lifted, lawmakers need to start asking the difficult questions.
There's also the point of why do people have to suffer beyond the stage at which they believe their life is no longer worth living, when the medical prognosis is that it can't get any better and is only going to get worse and possibly end in death quite soon. And I think now many people have seen that happen with their older relatives, with their grandparents or perhaps with their parents, depending on what age they're in. And many people have wished that my father, grandfather, mother, grandmother could have had a more peaceful and more dignified end than she did.
New South Wales was the last state to accept euthanasia legislation in May this year. And Die With Dignity CEO Shane Higson says the reform has brought some relief.
We know that there are a number of supporters in the community who are currently facing a terminal diagnosis. And even though they have to wait for 12 months, they're hoping that the law will come into effect in time for them to die peacefully at a time of their choosing, surrounded by the people they love. So every day that any jurisdiction postpones these laws is more families are going to be traumatised watching their loved ones die. So we're really pleased that the federal government passed the bill that now has restored territory rights.
This was the fourth attempt to overturn the 25-year ban. Tom Kennedy, SBS News.